Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show, the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
The latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolfoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/The Roman Show. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/The Roman Show. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolfoRoman.com. That's RodolfoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolfoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com. That's OchoaOnline.com. The official sponsor of The Roman Show website, OchoaOnline.com. Want to win some money while you watch the big fight this weekend? Head on over to CounterMove.com. That's CounterMove.com with a K.
Yo, high five. Yo, hey, monkey, it's me, D. DP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, for you monkey, you're listening to The Roman Show. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. At its regularly scheduled time and day, September 4th, 9:36 p.m. right now, Eastern Time, as we get ready for this magnificent show that we bring to you every Tuesday and Wednesday. Last week we were off. Yesterday we were actually working in the morning time as we interviewed Olympic gold medalist Kayla Harrison on the program. If you haven't listened to it, go ahead to RodolphoRoman.com. You can listen to the complete interview of Kayla Harrison, who speaks about how she used to room with Strikeforce champion Ronda Rousey, and how she looks up to her as a mentor, Kayla Harrison looks to protect her gold come 2016 in the Olympic Games in Rio in judo. So make sure you listen to the interview. It's great stuff out there. You don't want to miss it. We're back, folks. Johnny Knockout is not joining me tonight, so I am riding solo. But nonetheless, we have lots to talk about on this program this evening, wherever you are, whether you're in Chicago or New York, wherever the heck you're from, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. As we have a producer, what's going on? Sure. Yeah, see, that's what we get treated out here. We get banana and mango juice to get the program started. Thank you. Thank you, babe. Actually, I'm producing my girlfriend, but not the best. Either way, we're going to get started with the program as we're going to have C.W. Anderson. He was a ECW veteran. He participated in the old school of Extreme Championship Wrestling. He had ventured as well in the WWE for a brand of ECW. And now C.W. Anderson also has wrestled for this Extreme reunion they've been having in Philadelphia with Shane Douglas and the rest of the gang. So he'll be on the program. Also, we're going to hear from Chance Prophet. He'll be wrestling this Saturday night in Hollywood, Florida, as they anticipate the return of Vader. Not really the return, but it's the first time, actually, that Vader appears here in South Florida. And he'll be wrestling Jesse Neal. Jesse Neal, a former TNA and a good friend of the Roman Show. He'll be here, come around this Saturday. So make sure that you guys follow that in action this Saturday in Hollywood, Florida. And make sure that you buy your tickets by visiting NWA Ring Warriors. And NWRingWarriors.com is the website to get your tickets. All right, guys, with that said, we're going to briefly give you a little heads up as what to expect for this program. As I mentioned, C.W. Anderson will be on the program, followed by Chance Prophet, who has a couple of words to say against his challenger, the NWA Grand Champion, the Marquis, Bruce Santee. Again, the NWA show is September 8th at 8 p.m. at the German American Clubhouse, 6401 Washington Street in Hollywood, Florida. Hey, before we move on forward with C.W. Anderson, we'll be reaching out to him all the way in North Carolina. King Mo, who is very, very well known in the mixed martial arts community, he'll be making his debut in TNA, and he says, sooner than you all think. Now, is it appropriate for King Mo to make a debut so soon? It's only been a couple of months since we heard that he was suffering from all these injuries, and he decided to train for pro wrestling because he's been a fan. But not only that, you let go of Strikeforce, where he once was a champion,
And now he was accepted in Bellator. And then with the whole Bellator being a spike and TNA being a spike, well, they both agreed, why not? Let's have him as a two-sport athlete. And then again, King Mo has said that he will be debuting soon. Now, is it right? Because, let's face it, guys, there are wrestlers that have been training their tails for years. Years. And they never get to, some of them never get to actually make it onto national television, yet they're great people, great talent, great characters, and they're never given a chance. And King Mo, who makes the transfer from MMA into pro wrestling, which frankly, okay, we understand, they're both athletes, athletic, he has that wrestling background, but it's not the same as pro wrestling. So is it right that King Mo is getting a shot at TNA so soon? Do you think that he should have had some time to get warmed up? You know, I remember interviewing here on the program Jake the Snake Roberts, and he himself told me that, you know, sometimes they're rushing these kids too soon, and that's how you get injuries. And that is why you get some of the type of outcome in matches, because they haven't learned the technique, the psychology, the in-ring psychology, which, mind you, folks, me being a former pro wrestler, I must say that the showboating, the act, the whole character is great. But if you don't know the in-ring psychology, then you have no clue of what to do inside that ring. And I'll tell you, C.W. Anderson will help let us know about this, because the guy does know about in-ring psychology. And one of the guys that was best known for this is obviously Jake the Snake Roberts. So we'll ask C.W. Anderson as far as his take on what he thinks. If King Mo, are they rushing his debut too soon? Also, marking out there in the world of pro wrestling, lots of talk about with the camera, and one of the dancers that brought us Clay, who was arrested for driving under the influence. Now, it's been told that she will be suspended for 15 days and she won't be appearing on television. This is reported by F4WOnline.com. And now that 15-day suspension will likely cause Brodus Clay to be kept off television for a few weeks until Cameron is cleared. So this does affect a little bit of his character, and any sort of storyline they had going with Brodus Clay, well, has to be on hold because of Cameron. The reason they want to do this is they want to take some of the heat as far as saying that, you know, Cameron was suspected or suspended because of the DUI charge. Hey, guys, before we move forward and bring in C.W. Anderson, over Labor Day weekend, we heard very sad news, and I was shocked, me being a person that is very dedicated to the health community and eating well and basically following the right steps to live a healthy life. And I was shocked because Michael Clark, a man who was in phenomenal shape, he is a movie actor, and also a big fan of the World Wrestling Entertainment. He passed away yesterday due to a heart attack, and it's really, 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 really sad to hear this, because the fact that I was reading that the man changed his eating habits. He converted into vegan about a few years ago, and he said that he has felt better than ever, and unfortunately, he passed away. So my condolences on behalf of the Roman Show to the Clark family, and may God bless him and everyone and all his family and his fiance, because that is surely a sad story, and shows you guys that, heck, enjoy every single second of life, because you just might never know when it's going to go. So any second, any minute, any moment, any day, make sure that the person you're next to, you thank them or you tell them how much you love them. Because you just never know. I want to read this celebrity news real quickly. A puddle of mud singer arrested in emergency landing after a fight on a flight. Now, I personally am not a huge puddle of mud fan. In fact, I remember going to a concert not too long ago here in South Florida, and I left because they were main eventing or headlining the tour. But turns out that the singer of Puddle of Mud, Wes Gatlin, was arrested in Austin, Texas, the airport, for allegedly becoming drunkenly combative with a flight attendant while in the air. This is according to TMZ. Now, according to the Austin PD, Scatlin got into a verbal argument with a flight attendant over alcohol. It's unclear exactly what provoked the argument, but a source with airport security says Catlin was upset because the flight crew wouldn't sell him booze. Can you believe that? The part of Mud Singer, Wes Catlin, arrested because he couldn't get any more alcohol. Needless to say, the man has been arrested. Guys, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more on the Roman Show, and we'll return with ECW veteran C.W. Anderson, and please forgive me. I'm trying to multitask here. I am also trying to keep an eye on the Democratic National Convention as Barack Obama will speak on Thursday, and Michelle Obama, the First Lady of the White House, will be speaking today in just a few minutes. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to romandh@yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, romandh@yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at romandh@yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show. Catch up with any past interviews on The Roman Show by visiting our website, RodolphoRoman.com. That's RodolphoRoman.com. Catch up on all interviews in the past The Roman Show has conducted. And if you happen to like the current show, check out The Roman Show tomorrow morning on RodolphoRoman.com. You have a business, but you have no money? Well, no worries. OchoaOnline.com has you covered. Head on over to OchoaOnline.com for the best prices. And trust me, when it comes to internet websites, these guys know how to do it. OchoaOnline.com will help you set up the best quality-based website for your business or company. OchoaOnline.com. Visit them right now at OchoaOnline.com.
This is Jesse Neal, guys, and you better keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, I'm Badass Billy Gunn.
And we're the Headbangers, Thrasher and
Mosh. And you're listening to The Roman Show, and keep listening.
And that is so loud, but if you don't, we still got two words for you.
Oh, suck it.
Or you suck.
We're back with more action here on The Roman Show. Again, please forgive me. I'm trying to multitask here with none other than the Democratic National Convention that's taking place right now in North Carolina. And speaking of North Carolina, it's so funny because we're going to have C.W. Anderson, who is from North Carolina. Maybe he might let us in on the truth of exactly what's going on over there in North Carolina. You know, it's funny because I spoke to him earlier today. He said that to in case I can reach him, keep trying, because he's really out there in the countryside of North Carolina. That's C.W. Anderson. And again, we appreciate him for taking some time to speak to us here on the program, as we will speak to him right now. And then follow up with Chance Prophet, who has a thing or two to say about his opponent, Bruce Marquis, come this Saturday at Hollywood, Florida. feel we should do C.W. Anderson here on The Roman Show.
Hello.
Hey, C.W., how are you? It's Rodolfo Roman of The Roman Show. How are you?
That's good, man. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the program, man. Thanks so very much for taking some time and speaking to us. As you're out there in North Carolina, a lot of hype over there with the whole Democratic National Convention, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, we won't get into the politics. Let's get straight down to the nitty-gritty of wrestling. Right. How are you doing? What's going on with your career? I know you've been out there wrestling with a whole hardcore reunion. But what's the latest on you, CW?
And I've just working a regular job now, which I've been enjoying. I do wrestling a little bit here and there. Not as much as I had been. That's actually starting to pick back up. But that's about it, man. Just working and trying to do little shows on the side. You know, I still play softball. It's fall time of the year. I didn't really have time to play summer ball this year. But with the fall coming up, yeah, it's always cooler. So I always enjoy getting out there and playing. And, man, that's it. That's all I do. I don't really do much else. I'm a simple person.
And it's interesting to know, CW, that, you know, you were this big catcher. You were going to try out with the San Diego Padres, and you turned that down to go to school. Very smart on your end.
at the time, you know, you're 18 years old. You're very influenced, very much influenced by your parents. And my mom wanted me to get an education, and her philosophy was, you know, the pros will always be there, go get your education, when in reality, you can go get your education any damn time. The pros ain't always going to be there, and they weren't. I got scouted, you know, I was going to sign with the Padres coming out of high school, got talked out of that. Then the Braves looked at me, the White Sox looked at me as well a few years later, but nothing ever come through once the Padres thing fell out, because I ended up blowing my arm out in college, you know, trying to show off because, you know, at 18 years old and, you know, could throw a ball 90 miles an hour from my knees, who wouldn't want to show off the arm? So, yeah, it's one of those things. Of course, if I'd have been in baseball, you know, I would have never got into wrestling, never done any of that, and then eventually wouldn't have been on the show with you guys.
Yeah. Well, Peter, maybe you would have been on Major League Baseball TV or something like that.
I've been on Major League Baseball because I'd have been retired by now. I've been an analyst or something along those lines. Actually, I'm the type of person that likes giving back, so I'm sure I would have been like a hitting coach or, you know, like the catcher, the catching coach, you know, something along those lines to pass along what I knew onto, you know, the younger guys coming up.
And one thing that I noticed from you is that it's very interesting, CW, when you tried out for wrestling, you had your first match. You really didn't have any experience, but you took a chance.
Yeah, it's I look back at what I did, and it's almost like the things now that I'm against guys doing. And, you know, so I'm no better to say, you know, because I did it. But I think, again, this my age coming in, I think my generation was a little bit different because my wrestling style back then as opposed to now, it's the same thing. It's slow, methodical, and I didn't do none of the crazy stuff. I'm not a high flyer. I always said I'm not airborne, I'm infantry. So I think my style was a little easier to come up with than today. I mean, you got to do so much more now getting into the business as opposed to what I had to do. But, you know, it was one of those things. I took a chance to see where it led me, and, man, it was pretty much a nice run.
And it's interesting to note that because, you know, prior to the beginning of the show, I was noting about King Mo. I'm sure you possibly heard that, you know, he used to fight with Strike Force. He's a mixed martial artist, and he was signed to Bellator. And that whole signage, they had him going to TNA. So the guy really has had maybe a few months of wrestling practice or training. And I remember we had Jake the Snake here not too long ago, and he stated that that's a problem that he sees nowadays. They rush these kids too much into wrestling and onto TV. And you yourself are saying that, you know, it takes some time. So what would you say is the average that a person should have as far as training, or does it really depend on the person?
It depends on the person. I think a good average for somebody would be about 6 months. I mean, especially if you're young enough, what's the rush? You know, you're totally from the day you start wrestling, you're never the same person because your body is, every day you step in that ring, is going to get a little more banged up, a little more torn up each day. And I think you need to learn the right way, the way I was learned, especially when I went through the power plant and got redefined and retuned by Sarge and Buddy Lee Parker, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker, Pez Wally, Mike Winter. Because if you rush somebody out there, one, they don't know the business as far as telling a story, protecting the wrestler. And there's so much to learn in this business that it takes years. And if you rush somebody out there, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's, you're putting the cart before the horse. You can get so much more out of a guy if you take your time with him instead of just putting him out there. And I think six months is a good leeway. And 2 months, I don't think you how much you can learn with that because there's a fluidity in the ring that you got to adapt to. And you can tell guys that's been hadn't been in the business long enough because they look like, you know, and go back to WCW when they rushed David Flair out there, Rick's son. He wasn't ready to get in the ring. That was no fault of his own, but you could tell how, you know, he was just so robotic in the ring because he just didn't know anything. You know, I like David. David's a good dude, and once he started getting into it, he'd become a really good worker. But if you go back and look at some of his older matches, you can see that's what the mentality is as far as rushing somebody out. That's what you get.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is WCW, I really haven't heard of David Flair. So I definitely agree with the more you put in, the more you will get out of it with the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But CW, you being in the power plant, we've all heard stories about the power plant. Of who was out there, who didn't cut it. In fact, I even heard a story that UFC fighter Tail Sonnen tried out for power plant. He couldn't cut it. I don't know how accurate that is, but any stories that you remember of some of the guys that they were really building up, but when it came to going out to the power plant, they were just pretty much a fish out of water.
They when Big Show went through it, he went through it before I did. They had to carry him the last 2 days out. He would have never made it if it weren't for his size. You know, it had like a 95-96% failure rate. 30-some people started in my class on a Wednesday. By Friday, there was 4 of us left. And I'm the only one that came that actually made something out of the wrestling. Before me was your natural born thrillers of Lash LaRue, you know, Mike Sanders, Chuck Palumbo, guys like that. And after me, I don't really remember anybody else coming along. I think Elix Skipper came along that time too. But Sarge didn't care, man. He was ruthless. He wanted you to fail. He did not care. It was the worst 3 days I ever had to go through. You never know what your body is capable of until you push it. It was pushed beyond any limit. I couldn't do it now. At 41, there's no way in the world I could do it now.
And what was it about the power plant that they make you do? What type of exercise
your 3 days consisted of? You start at 9 o'clock in the morning. You stretch for 30 minutes, from 9:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, with only a 20-minute lunch break. You were constantly doing, some people call them Hindu squats, some call them free squats, to where you had to squat down, your ass had to touch a bucket. You did an average about 1,500 of those in a day. You averaged about 500 to 600 push-ups, neck bridges forward, neck bridges backwards where you're laying on your back. You bridge up. He always wanted you to touch your nose to the mat. Take you outside in 90-some degree weather and sprint you for 45 straight minutes where you're sprinting forward in a group of however many. He broke you up into 4 groups. You sprint one way. You run backwards. You do the karaoke crisscross that they called it. If you were the last person in that group to come back, you had to knock out 50 squats by the time it was your group again to do it again. And then you got in the ring later that day and hit the ropes, run the ropes without him showing you how to do it, run the ropes, take bumps without him showing you how to. I was the only one out of that group that had been in wrestling before. So watching them guys hit the ropes was brutal. Watching them take bumps and, you know, hitting their head on the mats, So like I said, Sergeant Care, and it was continuous from 9:30 to 4. People quitting, throwing up, brink of passing out. And, you know, you had the students that had been through it before who had no sympathy for you whatsoever because they had to go through it. They were in your face screaming. Sarge was in your face screaming. Hard Body Harrison was in your face. It was constantly. Guys that went through Paris Island, the Marine Corps boot camp, said that Paris Island didn't have crap on these 3 days of hell.
And you had to pay to be part of that program, no?
Oh, yeah. It was a $250 non-refundable fee to do the tryout. If you got through that, you were offered to come back through the school at $3,000. You had to pay $1,000 just to get in the door after that. It was a money-making racket, and Jody Hamilton racked up on it. Because at one time, we had 30-some guys down there, and they had to come down. Paul Orndorff and J.J. Dillon had to come down and see what they had because they had no idea. And I had been down there almost a year, and I'm sitting there. Sarge had me and my buddy Toad that had come through with me, or he was actually the class before me, had us training guys. That's how much Sarge had respected my talents and Toad's talents. He had us training the Natural Born Thrillers, Elix Skipper, Lash LaRue, doing things with them while he was in the ring with somebody else training them. I'm sitting here paying these people to get me trained, and I'm out there training them.
And now, but prior to that, you had a run or some training with the Anderson family, which really kind of helped you out with your character when you came out with C.W. Anderson. How did that come about?
I was at an indie show, like one of my first shows, and there were some guys there that was doing the Anderson gimmick, and the name was given to them by Gene. They were looking to pass the name along because one of them was getting out of the business. They saw me. Of course, I didn't have a beard at the time. I just had a goatee. They said I worked like one of the Andersons and, you know, what I want to be it, and sat down and talked with them, had to meet with the Anderson family, and got the name, and just, you know, they came up with the CW name, and it just kind of took off from there.
And to know that you have that last name in wrestling, you know, of course, it's not your real last name, but to have that last name in wrestling, how does it make you feel to carry on that legacy of that last name? Like, if, you know, everybody knows a double A, double A, Anderson.
Right. It was a hard thing to do because you were always compared to Arn. You were always compared to Ole. People knew I wasn't, you know, they always believed Arn and Ole were real Andersons, and I was a ripoff, and I was just, you know, just as big as they were because I was given a name just like they were. But, you know, it's whatever. But I tried to go out there, and it's always, like I always said, I never wanted to walk in Arn's boots. I never wanted to walk in Ole's boots because I brought my own, is the way I look at it. I had my own style. I was an old-school wrestler that I brought to the millennium, old-school Anderson. And I respected the Anderson name. I did, you know, the best I could by respecting it. And I thought I did a pretty daggone good job of, you know, pulling off the Anderson name. It wasn't until I started getting some play at ECW that people started realizing that, you know, wow, this CW guy can wrestle. Because they would never, you know, you would never go anywhere and on the card. And whoever I wrestled, you know, some guys might have bad matches, but I didn't care who I was in the ring with. I was able to pull off a good match with them. So that was the one thing I prided myself on. I wanted to be like Bobby Eaton. I could go in there with a broomstick or go in there with Ric Flair and give you a great match.
And, you know, that's one thing about ECW that, you know, they back then, they never really cared about your height or your size or if you were strong or not. It's just what you can bring to the table. And I think that's what really set ECW apart because you really saw true athleticism like yourself with in-ring work.
It's professional wrestling. It's not entertainment. We're not out there to we're out there to entertain you, but we're professional wrestlers, and that's the one downfall that WWF had, WWE, whatever they're called, for so long was if Vince McMahon stopped being such a mark for these bodybuilder looks and, you know, had you, because that's what Paul's genius was. He took guys like myself, you know, Roadkill, Chris Chetty, Steve Corino, guys that didn't have the best bodies but either could talk on the microphone or work circles around most people in this business and made stars out of them. And I put my skills up against anybody in this business as far as, you know, I've been called the most underrated wrestler in the history of this business many times over. And I don't know if that's a compliment or what. I take it as one because I feel like I've never gotten my breaks, my just do, whatever it is. But that's, again, that was Paul Heyman's gift, was to look at guys like me and your roadkills, but could go out there and wrestle and give the fans their money's worth. And I think the big companies would be a lot better off if it was like that.
And you sure did, because I remember down here in Florida, the War Memorial Auditorium, which was, you go ahead and say, as a second home of ECW, and you put up a crowd like that compared to another promotion, and there is none like it. The wrestling fans were all in it. They were excited. And, you know, I kind of got a grasp of it. Recently I went to a Ring of Honor show, but it's still just not the same because you had that interaction, and people really didn't know the outcome of a match. You really were on your edge of your seat to find out who was going to win because you never knew. And that is what
right.
ECW was all about. But recently you guys, yourself and some of the ECW originals, like Shane Douglas, the Pitbull, Gary Wolf, and even Al Snow, you guys have created this extreme reunion, from what they're calling. Tell us a little bit about this, how Shane Douglas got this going. And do you think there's still a niche or a want for this type of wrestling to come back to what it was back in the late 90s, early 90s?
You know, Shane tried to do it with Hardcore Homecoming, and it was mostly, you know, the ECW guys. And I think he's kind of got onto something, bringing a lot of your top indie talent now to these shows, because a lot of the guys from ECW, you know, it's been almost 20 years. Some of them can't go like they used to be able to. They try. They, you know, they do what they can. Some can't go. Some don't want to wrestle like that, and they're just to collect a paycheck. But by bringing these new talents in, I think the crowd, you know, gets to see some of the guys they normally wouldn't get to see, and they get to relive seeing your Sandman, Balls, the Gangsters, guys like that still have that little niche and can still do a few things. Because, like, to me, the Gangsters ain't lost a step. Sandman, he does his thing. You know, his gimmick is the entrance and the cane and stuff like that, and that's what fans want to see. They want that part of the entertainment. I mean, then you get your guys like Jerry Lynn, Matt Hardy, you know, Homicide, these new kids, Blackout, all these guys that can go in there and still perform. You know, Jerry Lynn's almost 50 years old, and he still wrestles like he's in his 20s.
Yeah, he looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he looks awesome, and it makes me sick that he can eat whatever he wants to and still looks like that.
Lance Storm is another guy.
Yeah, Lance Storm, I don't know, you know, that would be somebody, another guy to bring in if he could. But I like being a part of that. It's I don't know if it's so much the wrestling or just being able to hang out with everybody and perform again. You know, the guys I call, and again, Stevie Richards, another one who looks phenomenal. And always keeps himself in the best shape and can still go. Luke Hawks, another young kid that looks great and can go. It's just mixing that talent, bringing them in with us, that is a cool little niche. And, you know, the first one we did was a dud, man. It was not good at all. But we made up for it in the second one, the second time we went to the Philadelphia Armory. We made up for it.
One of the recent ones, they had some issues with the internet feeds, and several folks were complaining because of that. I think they ended up resolving the issue, and they relaunched the show.
Yeah, probably the very first one, man. I'm sorry, the first one didn't. It was too many problems. The matches weren't good, including mine. My match was ridiculous. My match was not good at all. I was not happy with it. But the second time around, I thought everybody worked great. You know, you brought the Mexicans in. They did the lucha style, the extreme lucha style. You know, me and Balls had a good, nice, simple match for what it was worth. And, you know, Sandman came out, Jerry and Matt and Homicide had a great three-way dance. Luke and Stevie Richards had a great one. The FBI put on a good, I mean, all these guys performed, and I hope it, you know, let the fans know in Philly, hey, sorry about the first time, we made up for it, and next one will be even better, which I think is in November.
And it's glad to hear that we're going to get another one, because a lot of folks, there's still interest in this, and many of those
the fans want an outlet. Yeah, they grew up watching this. They want an outlet because they're tired of what's on TV. They're tired of watching it. And that's my opinion. I may be totally wrong, but I don't think what's on TV sells. I don't think what's on TV is interesting. You know, I go back and watch one of my buddies gets, and I go and watch the pay-per-views and things like that, and I'm like, oh, my God. I see, because where I work at, people know who I am, and they ask me, you know, well, did you watch wrestling this night? And I'm like, absolutely not. I can't sit there and watch it. I just don't. It's not that I'm not a.
When was the last time you watched like a big WWE pay-per-view you would see? Like, did you catch WrestleMania?
I went to my friend's. He watched it the night before. And as far as watching it live, absolutely not. I won't do it. I'll go to his house and scan through it. I watched. God, who was it? Was it Taker and Triple H again? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
I watched that one. I watched some of Punk's match. I can't remember what the other one I watched, but I just, it's no fault of the wrestlers. It's what they're given, you know, what was being written. But as far as watching Monday Night Raw, no, I can't do it.
And after ECW, you know, everyone was, well, you know, what are we going to do? You know, what are the fans going to get? Because there's no more Extreme Championship Wrestling. MLW came along, which kind of kept it going. You were a part of that. CM Punk was out there. He wrestled a couple of times for that company. Tell me about that experience out there. And did you guys feel that it was going to continue for a longer time? But it was really short lived.
I thought it was. And Court Bauer, he was on to something. And it was a great show. We were his top heels and we're drawing. I think where he failed was he flew everybody down to Florida where you're at. And most everybody lived up north. Instead of having your shows up north where you save airfare and things like that, you're spending plane tickets and stuff like that to fly everybody down to Florida. And your overhead was so high, you have a hard time making up for it at the gate. Then you were flying the Japanese over, which I understand. You know, you got to bring somebody I can't even think of it. I'm sitting here looking at his face right now. Anyway, Kitamura. Was it Kitamura? No, it wasn't Kitamura. Anyway, bringing those Japanese over and then flying everybody down to Florida, that, you know, you're already in the hole to be able to get with that. But, man, you had some top-notch talent. A lot of the ECW guys, you had Chris Daniels, CM Punk, Sanjay Dutt, and you were bringing Terry Funk in, Dusty Rhodes, D'Lo Browns, Dr. Death Steve Williams, guys like that. I thought it was going to go for a lot longer, and I was so disappointed when he shut down, because it was like out of the blue. He had all these shows lined up, and then I get a call from Carino one day and it's just saying he's done. I'm like, man, we can't get a break for nothing. So
was very short-lived.
It was only a year, maybe year and a half, maybe two at the most. And, you know, luckily at the time, Steve and I was still going back and forth to Japan. So that was our source of income. So it wasn't as heartbreaking. We still had Japan. But when Japan went to the wayside, I was like, man, well, what's next? So now I figured it was time to move on and do something else, and, you know, get a real job and try to, you know, just do it for a little bit of, just do it for fun on the weekends. And enjoy
With SCW, and I don't want to take too much time out of you, but you go to Japan, a lot of the wrestlers go to Japan. When they come back, one of them that comes to mind, MVP, also Tenzai or Prince Albert or a whole bunch of names. But what is it that some of the American wrestlers, they go out to Japan and they come back to the States? MVP had a pretty good, I would assume, a good salary in WWE, and he just decided to leave. But what is your take on that? And do you recommend this to an up-and-coming wrestler to either try Puerto Rico, Japan, or Mexico, or which of the three are the best?
Japan. It's not so much for the money. It's for the experience and learning how to work. The young boys over there that's just breaking in the business can outwork most of the guys over here that's been in the business for years. And maybe not some of your bigger names, but the young boys over there, any of the indie guys, man, it's an experience to go over there and learn. I was glad to be a part of it. I was glad. And hopefully one day in the near future, I'm trying to work on so I can go back because I miss seeing all the guys from Japan. I miss the fans. I love the culture. I love how respectful for the business the fans and the boys are. You realize when you go over there and see what those young boys have to do just to get in this business, to be a wrestler, and what they have to do. You see how spoiled we are over here and how easy it is to get in the business and the respect, the lack of respect a lot of them have. One, because they just don't know any better. Two, they get trained by somebody that shouldn't even be in the ring themselves. And if anybody, you know, forget Puerto Rico, forget Mexico, you want my take on it, get yourself to Japan, stay and learn, you know, get yourself over there, pay your way to learn how to work, because you'll learn how to work over there, to stay in their dojo and go through it with the young boys. You're gonna get beat up, you're gonna get stretched, but in the long run, when you come back over here, you're going to be leaps and bounds above anybody else, and you'll see that it was all worth it. I mean, I learned a lot while I was over there. You know, I'd been in the business, going on, 10 years, 12 years, and was out there still setting up the ring, taking the ring down, loading it on a truck, and, you know, you look at it, so guys that's barely in the business a year or two, like, I'm not doing that. I think it's one of the things of paying your dues, and you should get yourself over there.
Wow, very interesting, and it's true. You know, we see a lot of these guys, they go out there and they come back, and they're quick, they're fast, and their technique has changed. CW, let's take a quick phone call here from someone who's been waiting in the line. Perhaps he has a question or she has a question for you. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. Hello? Caller. No worries about that. Well, CW, I don't want to take too much time out of you, and you're always welcome in the program. Make sure you guys follow CW at ECW Anderson. That's on his Twitter account, at ECW Anderson. A pleasure to have you here, CW, and anytime you want to be on the program, we'll be in contact, and we'll love to have you again, my man.
Thanks so much. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you so very much, and we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, with that said, CW Anderson, you heard it from himself. If you're an up-and-coming wrestler, Japan is a great place for you. He also told his stories about the power plant, WCW power plant. Who cut it? Who couldn't cut it? You heard the story about Big Show, how they had to carry him out. The only way he got into the business, because of his height. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman Show. Hello. You have it too high, your speaker. You might want to turn it down a little bit. Hello? Okay. Well, with that said, that was CW Anderson. If you happen to miss the interview, no worries. RodolphRoman.com will have it for you. All you have to do is just head on over to the website, and we'll get you straightened out with the entire interview of CW Anderson. Hey, let's go to a quick break, and we promise to come back with more of The Roman Show and a quick little spot of Chance Profit, who'll be wrestling at the end of your Ring Warriors this Saturday night. Hey guys, want to let you know that we are nominated as the number one MMA radio internet show thanks to the MMA Awards, the Florida MMA Awards. Vote for us. All you have to do is head on over to RodolphRoman.com. That's RodolphRoman.com. and click on the banner where it says Florida MMA Awards and simply provide your email account and click for the Roman Show. It only takes less than a minute. I promise you. Nominate us to be the number one internet radio show in Florida, the Roman Show, providing you the best top quality interviews and the most informative information you'll ever find here on the internet. Let's get a hold of Chance Prophet, who has a couple of things to say to Bruce and Marquis. Oh, no. Chance, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, Chance, here in the Roman Show. Chance Prophet, NWA Ring Warriors this Saturday. We understand you have a big matchup against the NWA Grand Champion, the Marquis Bruce Santee. Chance, how are you preparing for this, sir?
How exactly would you prepare for a man that wants to prove that he's one of the toughest men to ever step foot in the square circle? What I'm doing is doing a lot of studying, not of what he does per se, move-wise, how he picks his opponents apart. I'm studying what he doesn't do, and I'm looking for that weakness that I can capitalize on, because you don't fear the man who wants to be the toughest. You don't fear the man who thinks that he's the biggest, baddest man on the planet. You fear the guy that's waiting in the wings for that guy to slip up, and that's exactly what I do.
Chance, you know, every time we speak to you, you bring that enigma, dark tone of voice. Should the Bruce Santee be scared of you? Because last time we had him here in the program, he was unleashing a foul mouth, but you keep it clean in a dark way, so what should he be looking forward to, sir?
What he should be looking forward to is nothing more and nothing less than a fight. I often find it funny that the toughest people, the people that think they're the toughest, often use the language of fools to get their message across. I don't have to resort to the language of the foolish, the language of the unclean, the unwashed, the unbathed, those who dabble in recreational drug use and partake in taking the quote-unquote skanks home from the club. I don't have to resort to that to get my message across. Bruce Santee is a very, very accomplished grappler. He's a very tough man, but I, in my own right, I like to fight, and I like to use tactics that aren't lent to the credible opponents such as the Frank Gotchas or the Luthezes or even the modern-day your American Dragons or whatever you want to call it, hug-it-out people on WWE. But Bruce Santee, he should worry that I'm not worried. Because one way or another, we're both leaving there with lumps, bruises, contusions, and probably a few broken bones. And that's not something to fear. That's something to embrace.
Strong words for the NWA Grand Champion and the Marquis Bruce Santee. He'll be in action against the Dark Child Chance Prophet at the German-American Clubhouse, 6401 Washington Street in Hollywood. That's this Saturday at 8 p.m. Chance, tell the people why they should go check you out this Saturday.
Well, if you've never seen what I can do to someone in the ring and never seen the amount of punishment that I enjoy in dishing out and taking upon myself, if you like seeing people who are gluttons for punishment, then you obviously like professional wrestling. You should definitely come see me, because I'm one of the most twisted individuals who enjoys telling the truth, yet putting my own little twist on it and making you think exactly what is going on here, and why does what he does in the ring, why does it just seem so right? Why is is there something twisted and dark and just flat out evil? Why does it seem so right and good at the same time?
Chance, thank you so very much. Follow Chance Prophet on Facebook. You can find him there. Chance, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Very scary and methodical, but a very entertaining wrestler that he is, and you can check him out, NWA Ring Warriors, this Saturday in Hollywood, Florida. Chance, thank you so very much, and have a good night, sir.
You have a pleasant evening as well.
Thank you, sir. You know, it's always very scary to talk to Chance Prophet. Very scary. I think we got to book him for a Halloween special. Caller, you on the air on the Roman Show? Hello? Caller?
Yeah, Roman, okay. Yeah, Roman, got a question for you.
Go ahead. I
wondered what your thoughts were on Damian Wayne and Chance Prophet, maybe, for the NWA World Heavyweight title.
That would be a nice one. You know, Chance Prophet is the type of guy, man, that really entertains you. He puts his guts, his blood on the line. I saw him not long ago against Cahagas and Williams and him. I'm sure they'll provide a great, exciting fight. And come this Saturday night with the marquee, I know that these two are going to deliver. So if you're down here in Florida, get your tickets right now. NWARingWarriors.com is the website. Trust me, you won't want to miss it. I like that matchup. Very exciting. And I'm sure maybe Brody might think of putting it together somehow, some way. Thank you so very much for listening here on the program. And guys, listening on the program, if you heard from Chance Prophet, he'll be wrestling this Saturday. But C.W. Anderson was on the program just a few minutes ago, who spoke about his career, and not only that, but his experience at the WCW Power Plant. And I must say, the things that he told us were just unraveling. Hey guys, quickly, let's review of what's going on in the world of pro wrestling, and there is lots to talk about. Trust you me, as this is the news.
News of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it turns out that these TNA belts that were allegedly stolen actually turned out to be a lie. Multiple news outlets reported last week that two men were charged with stealing the TNA World Heavyweight Championship belt and the replica prior to a live event in Iowa. Now, while a stagehand was unloading props from his trunk, now sources affiliated with the wrestling organization told TMZ.com that the World Heavyweight Championship stolen was valued at $6,000 and ultimately returned. But according to a person close to the chief of Ottumwa Police Department, multiple claims made to both the department and TMZ.com were not true. Now, TNA officials falsely said that the belt was valued at $6,000. The department later received proof of purchase from Wildcat Belts, which showed that its stated value was exaggerated. So that whole story of these belts being stolen turned out to be a lie. We haven't heard confirmation from TNA officials, but this is according to police to the police department and TMZ. Most of the time, TMZ is always accurate. All right, Matt Morgan deleted a series of Twitter messages he posted on Twitter Monday revealing his displeasure with TNA wrestling. He had written, "Hey man, what can I say? Someone in that locker room had to stand up to TNA front office and call them out for over-promising and under-delivering. So when my deal was up, I said, why not me? Accountability? Who says you can't go home again? LOL." Remember guys, the NWA Ring Warriors this Saturday in Hollywood, Florida. Catch Chance Prophet versus Bruce Santee, WWE legend Vader, who'll be wrestling against our good friend Jesse Neal. Well, CelebrityNetWorth.com has posted an article featuring the most richest wrestlers. And get this, number one, leading the pack, The Rock. He is worth $70 million. Can you believe that, babe? $70 million? What would you do if I would be worth $70 million? That would be a rotation too. Steve Austin follows up with $45 million. John Cena, $35 million. The Big Show, $30 million. Triple H, $25 million. The WWE Champion CM Punk is worth $7.5 million. Ironically, Jerry Lawler is below him at $7 million, Randy Orton at $6 million, and Alberto Del Rio is at $6 million. All right, the spat between Kurt Angle and CM Punk continues. It turns out that Kurt Angle took to Twitter again, blasting WWE champion CM Punk, this time over his number one spot on the annual PWI 500 list, which, mind you, the Roman show was featured on the PWI 500 list, as it did mention that Dash Maverick was the wrestler of the year in 2011. And the Roman show named Dash Maverick, who will be on this show next Tuesday. And Dash Maverick actually made the list. The number escapes me, but it's in the 300s. And by the way, the Roman show awards are coming up. We'll make an official announcement on the nominees starting next Tuesday. So make sure that you listen to the program and you listen to all the details and how you can vote. All right, so Angle took to CM Punk. Angle is ranked number 8 on the list between Davey Richards and the world's strongest man, Mark Henry.
Really?
All right, so Punk is not in the top 10. So PWI is about title runs, he says. Not wrestling, Orton is better, AJ, Rude, Aries, me are better. And this is a shot to CM Punk. Well, speaking of TNA, TNA could do without the belt held by D-Von, the TV belt, the television title. As we know, D-Von has taken to Twitter saying that he was on his farewell tour, saying that he might be gone from TNA. And we are working on getting an interview with D-Von Dudley here in the program to exactly state what happened with TNA, why he left, and will we ever see him back? Perhaps maybe a reunion of Team 3D in the World Wrestling Entertainment? Time will tell. And lastly, to finish up with some of the news, according to several news outlets, WWE superstar Hollywood and Hollywood actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson broke up an attempted burglary on the set of Fast 6 yesterday. Apparently, The Rock spotted several men trying to break into equipment vans and chased them down in the middle of filming a scene. Johnson was reportedly dressed as an FBI agent for the filming and sprang into action and charged at the gang, forcing them to flee. I wonder if he attempted a clothesline. All right, let's take a quick phone call again. Caller, you were on the air earlier today. Welcome again.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the Roman Show.
Oh, I just have a question. Since Chance Prophet is part of the anti-heroes, and he's also part of a group called DWS, what are your thoughts on his one partner, Crimson?
Oh, man. Crimson is an interesting guy. We had him not too long ago, and I know both those guys teamed up over there. He's a very, very, very interesting and enigma of a person. Good friends with Rhino, from what I understand. Very exciting.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really love his character, and I'm dying to see him down here in South Florida. Hopefully, end of year Ring Warriors can bring him down and pair him up with Chance Prophet. But he's very exciting, and I love his promos, especially with the black and white.
I promise you, if they can get him down there, you will not be disappointed.
Totally agree with you.
I promise you, we are true DWS fans, so.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. He's very exciting. I love the promos that he does with the whole black and white. It's like a Joker, but 10 times as mean. And
mm-hmm.
that's what Crimson reminds me of. And he's a good friend here of the show, the program. Thanks for listening, ma'am. And make sure you listen every Tuesday at 9:30.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that said, guys, remember tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll be back talking mixed martial arts. In fact, tomorrow night we're going to have a promoter of the World Cup of MMA. This promotion is promoting teams representing different countries of the world. So you'll have a Japan versus USA, Brazil versus USA, and so forth. He'll be out here talking tomorrow night about this event that's going to be taking place later this month here on the program. Also, we're going to have Tariq Safadine, who fought in Strikeforce. He'll be talking to us about his possible upcoming match, or who he likes, who would like to fight, and his last win in Strikeforce, which was not too long ago. You guys make sure you follow the action on Twitter, at RomanDH, and you visit the website, RodolphRoman.com. Nominees for the Roman Show Awards will be revealed next Tuesday and Wednesday, both on the wrestling show and MMA show. So make sure that you tune in next Tuesday to find out and vote. Dash Maverick will be on the program as well. And coming soon, we're going to have Conan on the program. And next week, with the being September, keep it even September 11th, 10 years already. 10 years next Tuesday that we were attacked by terrorists in New York City and in Washington. And we lost thousands of folks out there, unfortunate case for us. And it's a day that we'll never forget. But 10 years will mark next Tuesday. And we'll definitely be playing a dedication to those who lost their lives and to those who gave up their life to fight for our freedom here in the United States. And we're going to have, ironically, a police officer, a person who's in law enforcement. But not only is he a police officer, ladies and gentlemen, but he is Mr. Olympia, Ronnie Coleman, on the Roman Show next week. If you're a fan of wrestling, more than likely you picked up a Flex magazine, and Ronnie Coleman was in the front cover of that magazine. And that's Ronnie Coleman, Mr. Olympia. He won it several times. The guy is a monster, and he is a police officer, and he'll be out here talking to us next Tuesday, here on the Roman Show. So, guys, with that said, hopefully you guys enjoyed the program this evening. Make sure that you tweet it, retweet it to everyone else, and to spread the word about the Roman Show. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter, on RomanDH, the website, RodolphRoman.com. If you'd like to sponsor us, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com. That's at RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Also, again, I want to mention also that we're going to have Savio Vega on the program coming up later this month here on the Roman Show, followed also by a local wrestler up in New York. He'll be visiting the Roman Show to tell us a little about his life as an independent wrestler. With that said, I'd like to thank Chance Prophet and C.W. Anderson. Till next week, when we talk wrestling, but tomorrow, we're back with Biggest Martial Arts. Remember to check the website, RodolphRoman.com, and listen to Kayla Harrison, judo gold medal Olympian, who won it a month ago. Make sure you head on over to the website and listen to the entire interview. And that said, good night, guys, and we'll catch you here on The Roman Show, 9:30 p.m. Make sure you spread the word. Good night.